The following episode is dedicated to our friend, co-worker, and one of our favorite guests here on the show, Dave Slavinsky.
Yeah, Scott. Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, people that are listening, Dave Slavinsky, the lawn service expert, we did an entire podcast, and he was very, very cheap to employ for us to have on this podcast in the past. He would forget more than most of us would ever know. Lawn service and fertilization and grasses were his passion, and he's going to be well missed. You know, it's hit me in the gut. I wasn't ready for any of this. Nobody is, but I want to say, Dave, thank you for all your expertise and your helping us, and we're going to dedicate this show to you.
And on the lighter side, Dave's favorite sound is this.
Wow.
It's a sprinkler, isn't it?
It's a sprinkler. It's water, more importantly.
Wait a minute. Where's the memorial M&Ms we were supposed to have? You paid him in M&Ms, if you recall.
That's right. You know, I didn't have time.
Well, next time I have time, we're going to have a bowl of them. Peanut, preferably. I don't care what color.
Anyhow, we had a bunch of episodes, especially season one and a few in season three, where Dave talked about lawns. We had a couple little bit of argument differences on how to treat some of the stuff. But if you go back, I have all those episodes in links in the show notes if you want to go back and listen to those. And on that note, let's you and I talk lawns, because we haven't talked lawns in several seasons, and I keep getting the same question every year. You know, Scotts have that four steps that they were pushing, and everybody seems to remember that, but there's more than four, and there's a bunch of bonuses. So I advise you, if you fertilize your own lawn, or have a lawn service company push the spreader for you, you should know the basics. And seeing that the first round application is close to closing right now, it's a great time to get spreading.
I got to tell you, Scott, no two lawns are identical. I mean, it's you get a four-step program. It's going to be the basics, and you can follow the basics. It's usually going to be an application of, like, the first application is crabgrass control with the fertilizer. Second one's going to be just a regular fertilizer. The third one's going to have some insecticide in it, mixed in with it. And then the fourth one is just going to be a regular fall feeding. Now, mind you, we don't feed the lawn. We don't feed plants. We provide the nutrients for them to go and make their own food.
But let's get into the one that's closing down, like, as this airs.
Well, okay.
Which is your crabgrass preventer and first fertilizer feed.
That's, you know, if you've got yourself, if you pay somebody to come out, a professional that are certified with the applications, you follow their program. Sometimes it's only four, sometimes it's five, and some of them are even more applications. But the very first one's going to be critical right now. And before the air temperature gets to a certain degree and the ground temperature reaches, let's say, 52 degrees, that's what the extension says, but I'm saying basically between 50 and 60 degree, 2 inches down, you better get that crabgrass control put down. Now, again, fertilizers, most of them that you have, I think, Scott, your family's business sells what they call Scott's Lawn Pro. And the Lawn Pro's got a herbicide. It's to help to prevent the seed from germinating. Crabgrass will germinate when the air temperature and ground temperature rise up. And like Scott said, we're getting down to the deadline. But most of those are only going to last, if we have pristine conditions, about 180 days. We're lucky if we get that. We're lucky if we get 90 days of control from a pre-emergent control. Because in the Midwest, no 2 days are going to be identical. We can have torrential rains for a week and a half, and then after that have nothing but drought. If there's a drought, get ready, because you're going to see the cracks come into the lawn and the soil, and you're going to get those crabgrass seeds to come back up and germinate.
And I've looked at the past two Mays.
Yeah.
The month temperature and the water level, and at least around here, it has been very drought.
In May?
In May.
Okay. Yeah, get that down. Because, again, if you're in June right now, I'm not going to recommend it. That stuff's already germinated. Now, I have to tell you something, though, Scott. Remember when I said that no two lawns are identical?
Yes.
Crabgrass will only germinate in a full sunlit condition. Sometimes off and on sunlight. But if you've got a shady lawn, mostly shade, especially in the afternoon, chances are you're not going to get crabgrass. But I'm going to ask you to put it down just in case as a protective barrier.
Because your front and your back can be completely different. Hey, you said no two lawns are alike. Well, no front and back are alike, unless you're like all sun or all shade. But as your favorite word is dapple light.
I like the way you like that. Yeah.
So if you have dapple light, then maybe you should throw down the crabgrass preventer.
Dappled sunlight, sometimes now, especially if you have a May like we've had the last 2 years that Scott's referring to, then chances are you are going to get a crabgrass situation. Grasses that are already there need the moisture from the rains, need the moisture from your lawn. I mean, we've got people that are saying, well, we had all that rain and snow this last winter. That's going to be gone in less than a week. So I'm going to recommend you watch that. If we have more than a 10-day period without any rain or without any water, you're going to have to go out there and go, psh, psh, did that sound like a sprinkler?
Now that you said it, yes.
Oh, good. All right. Well, yeah, you're going to have to go out there.
You're going to have to water.
You're going to have to water. I don't care how much rain or snow we had over the wintertime. That stuff just goes, especially if you have a sandy lawn.
Yep.
Now, sandy soils are going to have the germination. You're going to be showing signs of drought much faster than you would in a clay soil if you've got an established lawn. Clay soil is very difficult to get established, but once you get it established, you can't beat that stuff. Sandy soil, I mean, there's towns here in Ohio, for instance, Sylvania, Waterville. I mean, they're going to be sandy, and they're going to have a deep root base or a deep root system. Crabgrass is going to be very opportunistic, and if you live in a suburb, my goodness, next to a farm field, guess what? Those seeds are flying all over the place. Protect yourself.
So each one of those steps that you recommended that everybody seems to know about, but always forget who, what, when, and why.
Right.
The homeowner that usually puts them down needs to put them down every 4 to 6 weeks.
Ooh, good. Keep going.
But your professional lawn services, if you, now I'm trying to teach people, if even if you have a lawn service fertilization program, you need to know what's going on.
Yeah, just don't accept what they're going to tell you to do.
Or know what's going on, so when they tell you this is this, that you're smart enough to have an intelligent conversation. But their intervals are 6 to 8 weeks with their different product.
You're talking the lawn services.
The lawn service.
Okay, yeah, they have to be certified by the state in order to put these professional nutrients down. I mean, you know, there's difference in between something that you can get commercially like the lawn services versus the stuff you're getting from the garden centers. Now, if you're going to go to a box store and you see the Scott Step 4, you've never done this before, I'm going to highly recommend you pay attention. Always, always, always read the label. I don't care if it's fertilizer or if it's pesticides, you always read the label and follow that label to the T. There's a little bit of a confusion though. If you have a spreader, they have the spreader settings that they want you to put it down on the back of the bag. If you don't have a spreader, go and get one. Make sure it's, you know, something that's going to, don't get somebody's used one that you've had in their garage for 25 years and try to clean it out and use it. Go get your, spend the extra buck for it, and then go ahead and apply it according to their label. Some of the fertilizer spreaders basically go by numbers. Or they go by letters. Now, mind you, how many numbers do most of those spreaders go up to, Scott? They go up to 26. How many letters are there in the alphabet?
26.
Yeah, so you just basically count it up. If they say set it on number 15, count all the way up to the 15th letter in the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O. And it's P. So you could do it that way. Make sure that you follow it. And just, you know, do not forget to close it when you come to the end of a pass. If you do, you're going to have a cooked region. It's going to look like about 100 Dalmatians came out and did their duty right in that spot.
Just as a disclaimer or an asterisk, there's no standard. in these numbers as far as different manufacturers of spreaders.
You're right.
So if you like product A or product Z, see what it says on the back of that bag. And then it will say, you know, use Ralph's spreader and use Ralph's spreader number 5 or number 10.
Well, to give you an idea, standard nitrogen rate in the fertilizers, remember, first number is nitrogen, second number is phosphorus, third number is potassium.
Yeah.
The first number on that's nitrogen. On the average well-lit sunny lawn, they want you to put down approximately 1 to 1.5 pounds per 1,000 square feet. And as in all fertilizers or pest controls, remember, you always, always must read the label. But if you can't figure that out, just call somebody and ask somebody who knows. I don't think it's going to be a major problem, just especially if you buy it from a reputable garden center. And that's all they do. I mean, they don't sell lumber and they don't sell, you know, hardware. If you've got a responsible lawn or a garden center, ask them what setting you should be putting it on and follow it that way. So, you're right, Scott, because if you have a fully shaded lawn, you don't need to have 1.5 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet on your lawn. A light dusting will be more than happy. Well, more than perfect for it.
While we're talking about the NPK series of numbers, so yeah. 3 digits,
yeah.
I've always been curious of why. It's interesting that spring numbers are usually high, like 26.0.4. 26, that's a lot of nitrogen. And I always told me by somebody who I believe is sitting across from me right now.
Who is that?
Who is that? That over the winter, Mother Nature with the rains and snow has increased that nitrogen already in the ground. So do you really need 26?
Well, are you noticing?
Is the earth already at, let's say, 20?
The earth can be ready for any amount of nitrogen that you're putting on, provided it's not way too much. Now, mind you, you say 26 is extremely high. Midsummer, they're going to be putting down anywhere between 33 to 36% nitrogen on lawns.
Right, but I'm just talking about the spring. Has already, you know, the soil, Mother Nature has already replenished it. So maybe 26 isn't that high. Maybe that just brings what Mother Nature did and what man does to
it. Do you realize that when you're out, when we get the snows or when we get the rains, I don't know exactly how much nitrogen we're getting out of the air, but the rainfall does deposit that. And early in the spring, you don't notice that much. Everybody's, you know, right now, the poor guys that are out there and gals that are out there mowing lawns, they can't play catch up because we've been having cool and rain and cool and rain, and the grasses are growing. These are cool weather lawns like bluegrass, turf type fescues, etc. But they are growing rapidly. They're going to start slowing down once the temperatures outdoors start to get above 70 on a regular basis and higher. So closer we get to 80, it's going to slow down. Right now, you could mow your lawn probably twice in 1 week, and still within about 3 to 5 days, you're going to notice that you're going to need another mowing. And that's coming from the air before you put any, whatever you want to call it, lawn fertilizer with crabgrass control down.
On top of that, we also learned from the Blue Barrel Rainwater Advantages episode that lightning was also a nitrate, I think it was, therefore nitrogen. And so if you have a lot of spring storms with lightning,
it converts.
It's going to be a high number also. So
right.
That's why everybody's lawn looks so great in the spring. So while we're on the NPK, you want to tell us about P is for?
Potassium. No, P is for phosphorus. I'm sorry. Give me a break, please. Yeah. No, NP stands for, the P stands for phosphorus and the K stands for potassium.
Oh, you gave that one away.
Well, I'd better be ahead of you. You're going to try and catch me at something that. What's the question about the phosphorus?
Well, just tell us why that's at a zero.
I don't think you're going to see any more phosphorus on lawns put down on lawn fertilizer, period. And the reason is because of what they consider a runoff. Runoff, let's say you put the fertilizer down with phosphorus and the potassium and the nitrogen on there, you're going to lose a little bit of that product that you put down. It's going to go work its way right into the sanitary sewer system. The floodwaters basically are going to run that off and then go right down into a sewer system and where it's going to channel directly into. Now, in Ohio and Toledo where we are, we have a river called the Maumee. We've also have a big pond called Lake Erie. I think that's actually, we've got one, a lot of the largest inner, what do you want to call it, continental seas. These are beautiful places to have basically access to water when it comes down to fresh water. But when it runs off and you've got the nitrogen and the phosphorus combined, nitrogen helps to accelerate the root or the growth of, let's say, a plant called algae. There's a lot of algae in Maumee Bay. When they have a runoff from, let's say, the Maumee River that goes directly from the farmlands, from the sanitary sewers, from the runoff, et cetera, and it goes right into the Maumee Bay, that nitrogen-riddled plant called algae is going to hit the phosphorus. What is phosphorus for, Scott? What is it used in most fertilizers?
It's for blossoms. Blossoming.
For flower.
Push. Push.
It pushes the flower. Now, with the algae that's growing in Maumee Bay, they have a bloom when there's phosphorus connected to it, and it amplifies that bloom that's coming from runoff from, let's say, lawn services, fertilizers, et cetera. That bloom is going to kick butt. But what is the problem with the bloom? It's, you're getting congestion there with algae in the bloom, et cetera. It's tangling up the propellers and the boats and all this stuff.
But more importantly,
it produces a toxin called mycocystin. That mycocystin, it goes right directly into our water source from the water intake in Lake Erie.
Since there's no phosphorus being added because of that, does that really hurt your lawn? Since there's no blossoming agent?
No.
But your lawn would want a blossoming agent if it didn't have the side effect?
Long time ago, we were using, when I worked for your wife's company, of course, her dad owned it with his brother at the time, we were putting down a product called 11-22-22 for super shady lawns. Now, mind you, this goes back to your question about the 11% nitrogen. That was very, very low. It didn't need it, especially coming out of spring. And you had all those rains and the snows and all that on there.
Bingo.
But when it, okay, you give him a star, put it on his forehead.
I'd like a red star, please.
Red.
All right, gold.
We'll call you Mr. Solzhenitsyn. Anyways, that the 22% phosphorus and 22% potassium help to strengthen the stem and the root system, plus the intake where that phosphorus would go in. And it would help to stimulate what they call rhizomaceous activity to create more of the plant. It would help it. It wasn't the primary ingredient for it. But when they did produce that, it would then go to a seed head. A lot of times, they've got a grass seed that comes out every year that everybody says, I didn't plant that, but it's got that fuzzy little seeds that are on there. And it's called Poa annum. Now, that's a bluegrass. It's a shadier bluegrass, but it's a seasonal bluegrass that comes in. If you put down the higher phosphorus in there, it would produce like 5 times more of that seed head. So it's not really hurting anything.
It's not hurting by not having it.
No, you really don't need it. Now, your flowers might, but you're not going to use anywhere near the amount you're going to need or they're going to have as far as runoff. You're just going to put it around the base of the flowers and watch them bloom.
And if you do any pool chemistry, for those of us that have pools, phosphorus and algae are basically, phosphorus is the food that algae wants, and you got to keep track of that.
You got to keep track of it big time.
And so it's the same thing, just on a lake level.
Well, yeah. You got an inland sea called Lake Erie. You could be doing the same thing. But
right.
I mean, when you think about Toledo's got, 350,000 people in it, and I don't know what's in the other outlying suburbs, but when you're talking about runoff and everybody has phosphorus that's put down onto their lawn, when you get a good rain, it's going to go into the sewage and come out in Lake Erie, Maumee Bay.
Longtime listeners have heard me say this before, why I'm so against homeowners or lawn mowing services putting your clippings, A, into the street, and then into the street goes down into the sewer. It may not be a big source of phosphorus.
It's enough
to trigger the algae, but on top of the farmers or whatever people want to say and who does what and in businesses, you don't need to add to that with that little problem.
See,
plus the motorcycle guys driving down the road.
Oh God, that's what I was going to allude to. Have you ever slipped on that stuff?
Yes.
So, I used to own a 2000 Road King Classic. And whenever I hit the hour, I'm telling you, fishtailing, it's enough to say, come to Jesus right at that time. You're fortunate. So don't put it out into the streets. Be responsible. Blow it back into your lawn and mow over it.
It's the same thing as we were talking fall cleanup for lawns.
Yeah.
You mulch your leaves one time and you collect them another. It's the same for the grass.
You're just reinstituting
blow
nutrients.
Blow it back into your lawn.
Yeah. I mean, now these lawn services, here's something I want to give a quick little caveat. Reputable lawn services will mow the lawns pretty darn high. When I'm talking lawn service, the mowing, the raking, the blowing, that sort of thing. And now what I'm talking high is about 2.5 to 3 inches. Some of them who are not so reputable end up cutting it lower than that at about 1.5 inches so that they don't have to come back as often, especially in the middle of the season. But that does damage to the lawn. It doesn't help it at all. And it may make it look manicured, but it doesn't make it look green. It's called crown damage that you're creating when you cut it too low. Also, you help spread. You got one lawn that has fusarium blight. I'm just throwing that out. That was a big one. Now they call it yellow patch. A dollar spot or yellow patch. Any kind of the funguses, helmsporum, leaf spot. It's on the wheels. It's on the cutting blades, etc. It's sharing needles. I mean, you're going to help. You're helping to spread that disease. So keep an eye on it and just make sure that the company is definitely responsible for their idea instead of just going out doing 25 lawns on the same block within a 3-hour period.
And as a reminder, the reason why we like to mow our grass high, because you can still have that nice carpet look and it will fill in and actually look better, but the blade is where the grass stores the water.
Bingo. Boy,
so, you know,
you're dangerous.
If you are cutting low, you're causing yourself to water more and your grass is going to hold less. It's in July. It's going to brown out and go dormant faster. So do yourself a favor. Just cut it high. You're still mowing the same amount. You're just mowing higher. There's no difference.
With all that rain that we've been getting, especially in the spring.
It doesn't matter. You're still mowing at 3 inches versus
it doesn't look
even
cut.
2.5.
After the third mowing, you're right. It starts to look as manicured as if you were to cut it down to 1 inch. It's just a matter of perception. Are you willing to have a nice, long, healthy, thick turf by raising your mower and keeping the clippings in your own yard to emulsify and go back in the nutrients that you're taking away on that? Why do you think they're telling people not to take the grass clippings, especially if you had a weed killer put on your lawn, and put them in the furrows of your vegetable garden? You're putting that weed killer into your vegetable garden, first of all, or any of the toxins that
you're
putting in.
Yeah.
I do not recommend that. I recommend you can use it grass clippings for a composted pile, but not to put and let it decompose in your garden and go into your corn, your onions, your beans, your cucumbers, that sort of stuff.
So let's get back on track. The NPK.
Nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium.
And we need to hit K. K is for potassium.
Thank you, it is. Why do they have N for nitrogen, P for phosphorus, but then they go K? I mean, there's some sort of a table. That's why I didn't understand.
Well, the P's
chemistry.
Already been used.
Okay. You got me confused already, but
P is used for phosphorus, and then you got another P, potassium. You can't have NPP. Okay, so potassium does what for your lawn?
You're talking about P. It works for your lawn. It definitely helps to establish.
I know it works. It's in there.
Okay, but it helps to reestablish. What it does is it thickens the root base of the plant, plus makes the stem stronger on all plants with the potassium, but it also helps the plant resist other things due to stress, meaning like drought, for instance, or insect activity, or even a fungus. For instance, if you didn't have the potassium in the fertilizer, you wouldn't have something that would help. It's like vitamins. It wouldn't help to ward off any of the disease. Let's just say if you had helmsporum leaf spot and you didn't have anything, I mean, you didn't do any fertilizer, period, your lawn would look yellow and gradually start to die out. And again, that comes from squirrels, birds. I'm not blaming the lawn service guys strictly on that, but they'll hop around. When I was on lawn service, says, well, he doesn't do anything to his lawn next door. And I said, well, okay, look at mine. Well, think about it. You got birds and squirrels and other things that are hopping from that lawn onto your lawn. I strongly recommend that in that case, you use and follow the directions that your lawn service tells you to do if you're paying that. If you're not, then you're doing it yourself. What is the trick there that you need to put on a regular basis come mid-June? It's called H2O, water. You don't have to trade off your shower or laundry bill for it, but the potassium, in order for that to get into the system of the plant, it has to be watered in. It'll just stay on top of the soil and never get down to it. And 6 to 8 weeks later, what do you got? You got yourself a lawn that doesn't look as good as you what you're hoping for when you pay for it.
And that's why you need to go back and listen to the Blue Barrel system and get yourself some natural rainwater to water during the hot summer months. Because as we learned in that episode, which you need to go listen to right now, we'll wait.
Okay. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do.
Oh, you're done? Wow, that was quick.
Are you through yet?
That all the chemicals in the city tap water basically ruin or kill off not your grass, but the nutrients your grass needs, and therefore your grasses go, help me. I would like some fresh, clean rainwater.
Please help me, sir.
From the loo.
Arms for the bowl. Why are we doing that?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, you're right. You're right. It needs the moisture. It needs to collect it in the blades if you're cutting it tall. And the rain barrel, I'm going to ask you. Let's see how well you listened up in our conversation with the young gal. If you have a 1,000-square-foot roof, how many gallons out of one rainfall will you get in your rain barrels once you collect them?
A 1-inch rainfall on a 1,000-square-foot roof gives you 600 gallons.
That could save you a lot of money out there when the meter is going when you're putting down either your irrigation system.
Well, your lawn's going to look, if you're one of those guys and gals that want your lawn looking fantastic in July when everybody else is scorching brown.
Right.
And you're using natural water, the grass is going to say thank you and perk right up and be happy as...
Yeah, a lot of people are using their pumping from the creek or pumping from 10-mile creek, and they're bringing it straight up from that onto the line. It's not potable. I'm not going to recommend you drink it, but think of the nutrients that are also in that.
So go back and listen to that episode. I think you guys will learn a few things on top of that as we continue on grasses. The fifth round is kind of like the fall.
Right.
And that fall application is really getting ready for your spring grass to pop up.
It's to help it kick in with the nitrogen that you're also getting from the melting snow or the rainwaters. I mean, if you thought that if you didn't do anything to it in the spring and you're seeing it, you're mowing the lawn twice, imagine what you're getting out of the lawn services the following spring for the winter or the fall fertilization. Now, that's not a bad thing. This is a good thing because it helps to stimulate, not only stimulate intake, but it helps to develop what is the K for? To develop the root base, to take in the nutrients, to sustain itself. And so it's going to be focusing more on the root system as well. So I think that's going to be something that'll help you a lot better in the middle of the drought seasons of July, August, and early September.
And that fall one, or winterizer one, if you want to call it, I mean, you could throw that down through Thanksgiving.
You could go all the way, even into December if you don't get the snow. I don't recommend you put it on top. But people are going to think you're nuts if you're out there putting something out on December 25.
So those are your 4 to 5 steps and the reasons why. So you're doing crabgrass and fertilization. Then you're doing a weed and feed and fertilization. And then the other two are just basically a fertilizer.
They're formulated for that time of the season, though.
And then you have your fall/winterizer.
Right.
Now, there's some ups and extras that you can do to make your lawn look super primo good.
Well, let's get back to what you've been doing. Since you've been listening to your own program, what have you been doing as far as putting, you know, you do the 4 steps, but you also do something special. Can you share with us and our listeners?
My ingredients.
Okay, here it goes. People, listen up. Right? Get your pencils and pens ready, pads of paper as well.
So, yes, I have our lawn service do our 5-step program.
Okay.
However, I am late on the list as far as where they start. So my house gets done 2/3 of the way through the very first round. So Scott cheats.
Well, I don't know if it's cheating, but go ahead.
Okay. So what Scott does is I messed around with Milorganite, and there's another show you folks can listen to when we talked about Milorganite, the goof-proof fertilizer, and we'll tell you about that a little bit. But I was using that for a while in between applications from the lawn service to kind of green it up because it has some iron in it. However, what I started doing in the past couple of years is March 1, when the lawn service goes out and starts doing their job, I lay down Milorganite on my lawn.
You put it down first and then when they come in?
So when they come in 4 weeks later, they're putting down their application and it's already got a little of a kickstart. And then when that one comes in and the rains start happening heavily, then nice and green, dark green.
Now it's kind of, it is a supplement. Now here's what I'm going to ask you. Do you remember the analysis, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium that's on that?
So the Milorganite is a 6-4-0.
Milorganite is Milwaukee's. They take it from the breweries, and it's a sewage sludge, and it's full of micronutrients.
It's actually the microorganisms that eat up all of that sewage.
Bacteria.
And then they cook it, and then that's what you're actually spreading on your lawn. So, it's not like a stinky cow manure or anything like that, but listen to the show. You'll learn.
But they're also using it as a deer repellent, too. I thought I'd throw that in. But anyways, you put that down before each fall application from your wife's company, correct?
No, before the spring application.
What do you do in between then? Do you do anything in between each one of those?
I used to do Milorganite in between every one.
Okay, now, do you do anything now?
Yes. Okay. I've changed it up.
Care to share?
It's another show. Iron Tone Experiment. So long story short, I was in the store. It was a rainy day. I was reading bags, kind of self-learning while nobody was around and it was pouring down rain. And I found that Iron Tone, the Espoma product that most people just use in their gardens, is also good for lawns. And I was like, man, this is probably good for lawns. And then I looked down and right on the bag says, great for lawns.
Because you read the label.
I'm brilliant.
Oh, jeez. God, give the man a little credit.
But the light bulb going off was it has three times more iron in it than Milorganite did.
Iron Tone does.
The Iron Tone has three times more iron in it than Milorganite.
Can I ask you a question pertaining to the iron that you're putting on? By any strange chance, do you notice any staining on your sidewalks or anything?
I'll get to that, but the answer is no.
No? Okay, cool.
Because it's a granular product. I tried the liquid ones. The liquid ones do stain.
Perfect.
Now back to our regularly scheduled discussion. So the nice thing about the Iron Tone experiment was there's no nitrogen in it. So in the middle of summer, when everybody's grass is going, help me.
I'm lethargic. I wouldn't want to grow.
And the temperatures.
Don't step on me.
The drought is telling the grass not to grow, go into hibernation. And then people are putting, you know, nitrogen on it, and that's telling it to grow. So Mike says it gets confused. So when I'm putting Milorganite on it, I'm turning it green, feeding it, you know, giving it a drink of water, of course. You have to.
You're customizing it.
Yeah.
And you're dosing. I mean, it used to mean the doctors would tell you a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a little bit of that, and then go from there. You're basically experimenting on a safe measure, always reading the label, because you would not have known that Iron Tone was something that would benefit your lawn had you not read that label.
That's correct. And Milorganite still does a great job. It's just that it has fertilizer in it, and I'm already fertilizing, so why double up that fertilizer? I want the green. It has more iron.
You're getting the iron, and you also get micronutrients. Now, let me ask you something.
Well, hold on a second.
Okay.
There are a lot of people, because Milorganite's a great product, used it for a long time. Many people who fertilize themselves will only use Milorganite. And it's more of a 4 week, maybe 5 week type of thing, but it's such a low dose of 6-4-0 that it's goof proof. If you spill a little or, you know, put a little too much on, it's such a small number, but it does the job. And I've seen some beautiful pictures of people with beautiful green tall lawns that only use Milorganite. I found this little experiment works for my lawn. So therefore, I'm still using Milorganite in the spring. I'm just not using it in between the other lawn service applications. I'm using Iron Tone like twice a season.
Let me ask you, is your soil sandy or clay where you're?
It's sand.
It's sand. Okay, I can see that now.
This is glacier swamp country. Yeah, well, so it's sand.
It's beach sand, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, yeah, well then in that case, I can see why you're supplementing. Yeah, because it leaches out as fast as any type of anything gets in it.
So those are two great products, Milorganite and then Iron Tone for your lawn. And you just do what works for your lawn. If maybe you need a little bump of nitrogen so that 6 isn't bad. Maybe you don't live anywhere near a water issue. So go ahead and use that phosphorus. I mean, it's a 4. It's not that big.
It also is absorbed into the plant more. So remember that last number I told you that we had was 11. 22. Yeah. Versus, you know, 5 times the amount of what they've had in the past.
What it comes down to is a responsible usage, no matter who's doing it and where.
I like that. That was well done.
Okay, so there's 2 bonus things that you can do. And, you know, I get the bump with the Milorganite at the beginning of the year before the lawn service comes, and bingo. There's one other protection application that we need to tell people about that many lawn services do as an extra round. There's basically, it's an upcharge. And you, if you're a DIY or spreader pusher, you can throw this on too. And that is grub control.
60 years ago, Scott, 60 years ago, the late 60s, we had an invasion here in the United States.
The beetles?
Well, that was in 64 on Ed Sullivan. But there are beetles that come on board. These are basically charlatans. They've been coming in. Everybody's been being warned. Protect. You're not going to have anything left in your yards or gardens because of the Japanese beetle. The Japanese beetle came in, and everybody thought that it was going to be something that was going to devastate everything. So they were using anything toxic to go ahead and try and get rid of them. Well, the beetles are winning out regardless. So, but they found that the best place to forage is whenever you have somebody that takes care of their lawn and gardens. They're going and eating at a 5-star restaurant by eating their roses, their perennials, their annuals. And if the person has a really nice sunny lawn, the female is going to go over there and says, well, this would be like a nice nursery. So they go out and check it out. They go burrow down. They lay all of their eggs in the sunny, beautiful lawn. The beetles are going to fly off and go somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
But within about a 4 to 6 week period, they pupate. They turn into what they call grub worm. The grub worm is going to feed on the root system of the existing grass. Now, what better grass to go ahead and have the 5-star restaurant feed them at no charge? These kids are growing up great. Beetle young are coming in, they're feeding in it, they're taking off, and then they're going to repeat the same cycle all over again. The problem there is that you need to put something down. Every once in a while, you need an antibiotic when you have a bad boo-boo. You don't use antibiotics on a regular basis. I'm going to recommend you're going to get grub damage, which is going to be mostly in the sunny areas, not in the shady areas. And the only way that you can really tell if you had grub damage is when you bend over and grab the grass by the hair and pull it up, and it comes up like a toupee, a bad throw rug. You don't have any root base to it. You have grub damage. And replacing that grub damage is extremely expensive, especially since grass is going, what, $6 a pound right now? It's not cheap. And a pound's going to cover a 10 by 10 area. Well, I'm going to recommend you be proactive with it. And you get yourself a product. The marketing product is called Merit. The active ingredient inside of it is imidacloprid. I don't want to go technical on you here, but Merit you put down is supposed to last for a 3-month period or 12 weeks. During the period in which the grubs are going to be surfacing, you want that stuff, it's a systemic. You want that stuff to be inside your grass plant so that if you do have a Japanese, it's not even a Japanese beetle, it could be a billbug grub, it could be a European chafer, it could be any type of a beetle that's going to come up and feed as a grub, the baby beetle, on the root system. And do you know how it knocks them out? It starves them. They think they're full for the remainder of their lives. They're not going to eat again, and they starve to death. So that basically is an inoculation of your grass plant to protect it. Now, that you got to be critical on this, and you got to make darn sure that you do it at a proper time. There's two schools of thought. If you have a lawn service, they've got, I said, like earlier, they've got commercial products. They have to be certified by the state to apply the commercial product. These products can and will last for 12-plus weeks. If you buy it over the counter, you're going to have a product that could probably last you that 8 to 12 weeks. Now, I'm not saying you got to figure out when the best time to put it down is. Best time is going to be when the grub is coming up and actively eating. You don't want last year's grub, which was laid in, let's say, September, August last
year. It's not doing much damage.
It doesn't do much damage at all.
As an adult.
But when they fly, they go out and they meet up, you know, a little cute little chickie, and they're going out there and they have made, let's go make a home out of this. And then she goes and lays her eggs on it. It's that generation that you got to protect yourself from. And that's usually the time, I'd say about first week or two in June. No later than that. I would like you to you can put it down yourself. But if you have a lawn service, they can put it all the way down until July. If you don't have the damage, though, either. But it's a protective basis to put this on.
So merit can be put on by your lawn service.
Yeah.
You can, as a DIYer, can also buy merit and put it down yourself.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, in either case, it's got to be watered in order for it to work.
You have to water it in. And maybe I know the answer to this. You just said put it down in mid-June. We always tell people, think of 4th of July.
That's the product that you can buy or through the lawn service companies. They have the stronger, the more potent stuff, and it will last. July is a safe barrier as far as getting all of the beetles that are there right now.
And we've talked about this on the bags it'll say apply in spring. Well, it has a shorter duration than what your lawn service companies can offer. That shorter duration, if you applied it in the spring, when the grubs are there in August,
it's already flushed through.
It's gone.
Yeah.
So you need to apply it again. So I always say, don't put it on the spring. Think of July, early July, July 4th, if you need to remember some holiday.
Well, there's different pupation periods for different grubs, and you can get anything from the great big, bull beetle to the European chafer, which is a little smaller, bill bug that's the size of a peanut, or the Japanese beetle grub. Regardless, if you wait until July, you are getting all the spectrum of different grubs out of that.
So we're not going to have a fist fight right now about you saying June and me saying July. It's all relative.
It depends also on the type of season. If it's hot and dry, guess what? You're going to have earlier problems. If it's not,
okay.
Then that's the merit. That's the imidacloprid.
Yeah. So merit is a pre-emergent type of application.
You want to have it down to be proactive.
If I go out there in August, September, and lift my toupee up on my grass.
If you've got that.
And I see all those little baby white worms.
Merit's not going to help you.
What will take care of them then?
There's a product that I am not going to give you the technical term for it. It's called Dilox. D as in dog, Y as in you, L as in loser, O as in O'Rourke, X as in X-ray. So D-Y-L-O-X is the product you put down. It has to be watered in immediately, and within 24 hours, it nukes everything that is below the ground except for earthworms. It'll knock out the grub worm, anything that's going to be lawn damaging, and that's going to take care of the damage. Not the damage, but the worm itself that's causing the damage. Then you have to worry about getting this thing back to where you wanted it to.
Right. Because that only works for 7 to 10 days.
It's a contact killer,
basically.
Yeah, it works its way immediately, but it's got to get its way into the soil. And once it's into the soil, it knocks anything and everything that makes contact with that, except for earthworms.
And L is for loser because you didn't put merit down?
Beforehand! Yeah. We're telling you now, I'm going to recommend it. Otherwise, you think it's expensive now, or was expensive to put in that bluegrass turf with, fine fescue and all of the above. Well, guess what? it's going at less than, I mean, you can go the cheap stuff at $6 a pound or the expensive at $9 a pound. You figure 1 pound per 100 square feet on either case, that gets into some bucks there. So I'd rather put the merit down as a proactive application. Let the beetles fly all over the place. Let them mate. Let them try to lay their eggs down there. Those eggs are just basically going to die off when they develop.
So the one time we disagree with reading the directions on the label is the one that says put down in spring, because we know with our history that...
And spring is vague. I mean, it could go all the way into... Look, when is the first day of summer? It's June 21, isn't it?
Yeah.
When June like that, hits, June we're 20th, thinking, yeah. You know, it's summertime. It doesn't matter. Spring usually ends with Mother's Day. So, I mean, that's what we use it as, but... Yeah, no, the stuff that you can apply, like if you get it in the bag, I think Bonide has one of those products. Put it in the bag, it'll cover 5,000 square foot bag. You put that down around May. I would definitely recommend you put it down again at the end of July, first part of August. But always read the label. When you have the regular merit and buy a lawn service company, and or if you want to do it yourself, do it end of June, first part of July. Have the lawn service schedule it for you. Let them check for your activities, see if you got any grubs, but you're going to be proactive. It's going to save you some bucks.
Is there anything you want to end the show with as far as lawns and
all I want to do is make sure that you're careful when it comes down to experimenting. Make sure that you ask someone who knows.
One last little tidbit that usually goes at the beginning of the show, but I saved it for the end, is I found out, and you mentioned experimenting, and I haven't tried this myself, though I am going to try it without reading any labels.
You're scaring me.
Thistle. I heard that thistle can be taken out with WD-40.
Well, to tell you the truth, Scott, I haven't tried that. I mean, I don't know. How's it working?
I don't know. I haven't done it yet.
You haven't done it?
The neighbor has some thistle, so I was going to try it this year, and we'll see what happens. I'll do a little... contained area.
Well, why don't you take also put a flame to it, and we'll just.
This is not Gene Simmons, a Kiss.
Okay.
Fire breathing.
Okay.
All right. So let's wrap this up.
Okay. Now, where are my M&Ms? I mean, I'm not going to eat them without we go ahead and say goodnight to Dave Slavinsky.
I think this would be Dave approved episode.
Yeah. Dave, did you approve it? We're going to be ending up with nothing but M&Ms all over the place. And he only wanted green and yellow. He didn't like the browns or the reds.
Yes.
They all taste the same.
Yeah.
All right, Dave. We'll talk to you later, man. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for everything you've done. We'll see you later on the other side.
All right, everybody. That wraps up today's show. I will have all of our previous shows that you can listen with Dave and a couple of them, quick tips without them. In the show notes, and just click on take the link and do your thing. Anyway,
we're gonna say sayonara.
You're gonna say sayonara. I'm gonna say everybody have a great week.
And what's that thing on your thumb? And how did you get that?
The green thumbs up.
We got it from our clay pots. We'll talk to you later. Good day, folks. Always read the label.
Thanks for listening to Your Midwest Garden. If you liked today's conversation, please share this podcast with friends and family. And don't forget to click on the subscribe button so you won't miss any future episodes. Plus, if you have any show topics you'd like us to discuss, head on over to our sponsor's Facebook page, which is Black Diamond Garden Center, and message them your topic idea. For all of us at Your Midwest Garden Podcast, I'm Michael Rourke, the Garden Guy. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation.
This is Dave Slavinsky, and you're listening to your Midwest Garden Podcast.